A national day of action is being held today to mark the start of the third month of the Occupy Wall Street movement. Here in New York City, organizers have been distributing posters reading Shut Down Wall Street, Occupy the Subways, Take the Square. As we speak, protesters are marching in various parts of the financial district in an attempt to block the New York Stock Exchange from opening at 9:30. Labor organizers are planning protests at dozens of bridges across the country today as part of a campaign to highlight the need for increased spending on the nation's infrastructure. In Seattle, protesters are planning to occupy the Steel Bridge. In Portland, an action will target the Montlake Bridge. In Washington, D.C., protesters will march on the Key Bridge. And here in New York, at 5 p.m., action is set at the Brooklyn Bridge. The protests come just 2 days after New York police raided the Occupy Wall Street at Liberty Plaza and destroyed the encampment.
A man is thrown over a police barricade. New York police in full riot gear push back Occupy Wall Street protesters with batons. After day-long clashes, a Manhattan court rules. The movement is no longer allowed to occupy New York's Zuccotti Park with tents.
Park, but without sleeping bags, tents, or musical instruments.
For the latest on the protests taking place at
it all started early Tuesday.
Try and describe what is happening as we are broadcasting right now at 8 in the morning.
Well, Amy, it's a little bit of a hectic scene here. There are, I can't tell what the numbers are, hundreds, if not thousands of people trying to get to the New York Stock Exchange. They met their first police barricade line at the intersection of Wall Street and Hanover, which is about 2 blocks east of the Stock Exchange. I noticed one young protester carrying what appears to be the rules sign for Zuccotti Park.
Into Lower Manhattan, clearing the park of people, tents, and sleeping bags, and making 200 arrests.
And I heard, get out of your tents now, the police are here. I got out, and they had on their helmets with the shields, and they were standing there with...
Most of Tuesday, the protesters from Zuccotti Park, hundreds of them, were on the outside looking in. The movement turned inside out, kicked out of the park they occupied for nearly 2 months, now occupied by the New York Police Department. They were in a legal limbo, waiting to hear if a court order would allow them back in after Mayor Michael Bloomberg temporarily forced them out, citing public safety. He wanted the camping stopped and all structures removed. In the late afternoon, rumors from the courthouse just blocks away spread by Twitter and through the crowd.
Of energy here. People started gathering at around 7 in the morning near Liberty Square. The plan is for sort of a three-pronged blitz on the financial district, marches coming from all different directions, and trying to basically swarm the area with people.
We'll be right back.
Now, the NYPD's response has been equally robust. There are police vehicles, officers, and barricades on every single street. There are four helicopters hovering above the financial district when I arrived this morning. The police are definitely out in full force. City officials say they've made plans to deal with tens of thousands in the streets if necessary. Police wear their riot gear helmets, and it's a tense situation.
Ryan, the extraordinary security precautions for people coming into the district, could you talk about that?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. The police have set up these barricades at every major intersection near the financial district, and they're checking work IDs of people that are employed in this area, and I noticed several workers trying to get to their jobs, and they were stopped by the police, turned around, told they had to find a different way to access their place of work. And this is something that actually has been going on for the last 2 months of this occupation, and it's been a major complaint among business owners here, people that work in the financial district. The barricades and the extremely heavy police presence has really slowed down the ability of people to get to work and commerce and those sorts of things. So
was evacuated and scrubbed down to pristine condition.
Stock Exchange. Targeted as the historical center of American capitalism, protesters say it symbolizes corporate greed and a system which only serves the wealthiest 1%.
There is 1% that's composed of the elites in our society, whether they're in government or whether they're in the economy. You know, the 99% just represents that there is a group of people besides those elites which have a voice which is underrepresented today.
Dr. Furious here, Furious George, WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carborough. We are spinning here something hopefully that will represent the underrepresented voices out there, including Micropower Radio and independent media, which started up actually way back when we had the Seattle protests against the global WTO meetings in Seattle 1999. We actually started something called the independent media, and a lot of stuff spread out of that, inspired by the old Micropower DJs out there. And also, just on that whole theme, we are going to take advantage of the fact that today is the two-month anniversary of the big old Occupy Wall Street protests, anti-corporate protests going down. So if you're interested in, you know, supporting that, check it out online. It's all over the place. But definitely check out globalrevolution.com. And while you're at it, check out furiousg.blogspot, because that's where you'll find some of my old stuff. Including not just the clips and sounds you hear, but also some of the interesting underground beats. Here's a Gaslamp Killer remix of Flying Lotus coming up. I'll be back relatively soon. Stick around. I'm furious.
Well, the music does have a spiritual quality to it, and it's something that we were aware of when we would do the sessions, because you'd hear all the sound coming out, and it was just indescribable.
Side which has voice, which is underrepresented today.
Thousands of demonstrators from the Occupy movement arrived on Wall Street 90 minutes before the opening bell to mark the start of trading. The police shadowed their every move. The protesters crammed into several intersections close to the Stock Exchange. Some locked arms and the now familiar chants began. Many on their way to work in the financial district, it was a slow commute. It was also hard to get to a nearby school. Even harder to get into a coffee shop.
The Occupy Wall Street organizers announced their intent is to try and shut down the New York Stock Exchange days in advance to try and get as many people as possible here. But it also gave the New York Police Department time to prepare, and they responded with hundreds of police and strategically placed barricades.
For the first half hour, the police stood and watched. Then protesters were warned, you do not have a permit and you could be arrested. Police then moved in and more barricades went up, forcing people onto the sidewalk. Some refused to cooperate. Dozens of people have been detained, adding to a long list of arrests since the Occupy movement began 2 months ago.
Demonstrations in the history of the planet, and the New York Times barely mentioned it, the networks barely mentioned it. We were shut down. You know, I was trying to get to First Avenue with my wife. Police barricades were put up. We never were able to get there, actually. So there's sort of an informal way that through exclusion and through harassment, unpopular opinions don't make it, except maybe on the pixelated fiefdoms of the internet.
Trading at the New York Stock Exchange began on time, but the protesters are still claiming victory.
guest exclusive.
Our nation, democracy has been protected not merely by the strenuous efforts of those of us who cherish it, but mostly and most profoundly by the limitless stupidity of those who would ration it, keep it for themselves and themselves alone, or destroy it. The protests that ended the war in Vietnam reached critical mass only in 1970, when Governor James Rhodes of Ohio pounded on a desk at a news conference and called the student protesters at Kent State University un-American. They were not un-American. They were unarmed. And the next day, four of them were shot and killed by the National Guard. And 10 days later, two more were killed at Jackson State. Those protests had themselves only gone mainstream 20 months earlier, when Mayor Richard Daley of Chicago overreacted with mindlessness and sadism to the massing of demonstrators outside the 1968 Democratic Convention, and the whole world watched. A century of the institutionalized, codified, legalized pseudo-slavery that had followed the real thing was fatally stricken only when Governor George Wallace of Alabama used his inaugural address to promise segregation now, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever. Within 2 years came the marches on Selma and the atrocities at the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And 10 weeks after the first violence, the president had proposed the Voting Rights Act to Congress. The mounting paranoia of 3 decades of the scapegoating of and fear-mongering about liberals only ended when its last white knight self-destructed on the national stage of televised hearings, when Joe McCarthy questioned the loyalty of the U.S. military, and towards one junior attorney he revealed the depths of his cruelty and megalomania, and he revealed that at long last he indeed had no shame. Pick any moment in our history. Our history is a country founded by and invigorated by and reinvigorated by protest. And you will find men like George Wallace and Joe McCarthy and Jim Rhodes and Richard Daley. Go back further to men like the owners of the Triangle Shirtwaist Company, or the officials who sent the police to the Haymarket Square and the troops to the Pullman Town, or John Brown, or George Grenville, the British politician who had a bright idea about the American colonies, an idea called the Stamp Act. American freedom has not flourished in spite of these morons of history. It has flourished because of them, because they overreacted, because they underthought, overreached, understood. We owe them our traditions of protest. We owe them our freedoms. We owe them our very independence. None of them ever understood that, around these parts anyway, suppression always creates the opposite of the effect desired. Such a man is Michael Rubens Bloomberg, mayor of New York City, and as of today, the most valuable, the most essential, the most irreplaceable man inside the Occupy movement. Who else but a cliche like Bloomberg could take a protest beginning to grow a little stale around its edges and vault it back into the headlines, complete with mortifying scenes of police dressed up as stormtroopers carrying military weapons using figurative bazookas to kill figurative mosquitoes? Who else but an archetype like Bloomberg could claim a group of protesters was making too much noise in a residential area and then choose to try to disperse them by bringing out LRAD audio cannons, machines that send painful waves of sound indiscriminately over the very same residential area?
Who else but a cartoon like Bloomberg could have become rich creating a multi-billion dollar media and news company and then authorized illegally preventing reporters from witnessing police actions he claimed were utterly legal and then authorized the arrest of four reporters at a church? Just gotten back from Jerusalem and the dedication of a $10 million medical facility for which he generously paid and then enabled the image of policemen seizing 5,500 books from the Occupy Wall Street library and throwing them in a dumpster as if the cops were book burners. Who else but a hypocrite like Bloomberg could have overridden by backroom deal with the New York City Council, the result of two separate referendums, limiting those in his office to just two terms as mayor so he could serve a third term, and then have had his police arrest, beat up, and incarcerate a member of the New York City Council. Who else but a putz like Bloomberg could have insisted that protesters were not above the rule of law, and yet when the courts ruled he could not seize the protesters' tents and sleeping bags, nor kick them out of Zuccotti Park, nor keep them from returning with their tents and sleeping bags, who else could have stalled for hours until he could find another judge to give him the ruling he insisted upon? Of tone deafness that is Bloomberg could have better illustrated the fundamental issue of Occupy when he puts the entire weight of the most people-driven city in the history of the earth behind already crushingly rich and their efforts to grab themselves still more advantages from those people. And he himself is the 12th richest man in America. Who else but a publicity addict like Bloomberg could have enabled the arrest of 700 protesters on the Brooklyn Bridge, and yet 2 months later, frozen 20
and
square miles
of New York City has also
in gridlock
been
traffic over 2 days, so somebody could film another goddamn Batman movie on the 59th Street Bridge, leading to the inescapable conclusion that if you want to tie up a little traffic during a protest for equality and freedom from corporate domination on a bridge to New York City, you will be arrested. But if you want to tie up all the traffic during a goddamned movie shoot for the financial benefit of corporate domination, the city of New York will embrace you and give you tax breaks.
But when those two goals clash, the health and safety of the public and our first responders
rarely set up shop in other city parks before marching back to Zuccotti. But when they tried to re-enter, they were met by police force.
Right here is a conjunction that's come from the courts that says we have the permission to enter the park with our tents and all of our belongings.
Protesters waved copies of a court order allowing them to return with tents, although most of them have no clue where their belongings were taken. But police kept them out while the legal battle behind the eviction played out in a Manhattan court.
They'd like to say it's a camping case. It's not a camping case. It's a First Amendment case.
What is at issue here is whether or not we are allowed to and did promulgate reasonable rules.
term. And then have had his police arrest, beat up, and incarcerate a member of the New York City Council. Who else but a putz like Bloomberg could have insisted that protesters were not above the rule of law, and yet when the courts ruled he could not seize the protesters' tents and sleeping bags, nor kick them out of Zuccotti Park, nor keep them from returning with their tents and sleeping bags, who else could have stalled for hours until he could find another judge to give him the ruling he insisted upon?
In an attempt to block the New York Stock Exchange from opening at 9:30. Labor organizers are planning protests at dozens of bridges across the country today as part of a campaign to highlight the need for increased spending on the nation's infrastructure. In Seattle, protesters are planning to occupy the Steel Bridge. In Portland, an action will target the Montlake Bridge. In Washington, D.C., protesters will march on the Key Bridge. And here in New York, at 5 p.m., action is set at the Brooklyn Bridge.
We're all about you, the customer. Recently, we introduced an arbitrary $5 fee on all of our debit cards. When our customers, for some reason, didn't like it, we listened and temporarily revoked the plan. We can't keep track of all the things we do that screw people over, but we promise to sometimes stop doing it.
Bank of America threatened to burn my house down if I didn't switch to paperless billing, but then they didn't. No harm, no foul.
At Bank of America, we care, and we make the following pledge to you. Whenever anyone notices any of the terrible shit we do and makes enough of a stink about it, we won't do it anymore. At least for a while. Because we're a community bank.
When I signed up for a Prima checking account, Bank of America captured my family in a dungeon and tortured them for 3 months. But then they let them go. Thanks?
Bank of America gave me a great loan to start my small business. They also stole my car and cut the brakes. Then they returned the car and were nice enough to warn me about the brakes. So there's that.
I love my Bank of America cashback rewards card. When they said that they were going to use their profits to open up a puppy killing factory, I didn't like it. Then they said they'd find a different way to kill puppies. But I get cashback, so...
We know that our customers will accept us doing a lot of awful things. But sometimes we like to let you think that you matter to us. You can't be mad at us if we only try to steal your money.
Thanks, Bank of America.
Thanks, Bank of America.
You know what? No. F*** you, Bank of America.
Bank of America.
time to wake up.
Executing popular students first, and at the very least, purchasing some military fatigues.
You're not going to intimidate anyone by wearing a tucked-in button-down shirt.
Executives are currently gambling on which Occupy Wall Street protester will be arrested next. This morning, members of the financial services firm The Whittinger Group gathered at the window of their 15th floor boardroom overlooking Manhattan's Zuccotti Park and tabulated odds on a large dry erase board to keep track of the growing pot of cash.
I had 10 grand on that crazy bitch in the camo pants. They went for the bandana guy instead. Dumb fucking luck.
As of this afternoon, more than $1.2 million had changed hands, with Vice Chairman Malcolm Grant taking in more than $300,000 in winnings for correctly betting on the arrest of a man in a Guy Fawkes mask.
Until he could find another judge to give him the ruling he insisted upon. From corporate domination on a bridge in New York City, you will be arrested. But if you want to tie up all the traffic during a goddamned movie shoot for the financial benefit of corporate domination, the city of New York will embrace you and give you tax breaks.
notions of your rights and responsibilities, and you have made Americans and people around the world realize that you are simply smaller, more embarrassing versions of the tin pot tyrants who have fallen around the globe in the past year. But as some of us first thought you might be back on that fateful September afternoon that sadistic cops pepper sprayed four women who had already been trapped inside a police overreaction, as we thought again the following weekend during the arrests on Brooklyn Bridge, Michael Bloomberg, you have now indeed become the symbol of the Occupy movement.
So we can come with a united voice as Occupy Wall Street, as the Occupy movement, and begin to really exert influence on the 1% and on the people that are making decisions in our country, and really take back our democracy. Take back our self-governance and make it our own.
Any vibrant social movement really has to discover its life beyond the short attention span of a media cycle. I would take the long view in this, that these are issues that are very important, that have struck a chord with the majority of the American people.
On the street, what is your opinion of this event?
I'm delighted to see so many people here on our first day. All it took was one newspaper. What it means to me is that I don't have to buy a plane ticket to Occupy Wall Street in New York. I can do it right here in Chapel Hill, Orange County.
Is this, do you see this as similar to a vote that you might do at the election? I think of this as a vote for hope and change that I didn't get in November of 08. We'll be right back.
Meanwhile, in Chapel Hill, we are learning more now about the people who were arrested over the weekend, charged with breaking and entering into an empty building on Franklin Street. Alina Machado is live now in Chapel Hill with more on the plans they were cooking up. Alina?
Well, Steve, most of the people who were arrested here over the weekend live in the Triangle, or at least appear to live in the Triangle, and tonight we're getting a better idea of who some of them are.
These are the mugshots for six of the seven people Chapel Hill police say broke into the former Yates Motor Building and refused to leave, prompting this all-out response from tactical officers Sunday. Authorities say some of them are anarchists, unaffiliated with the Occupy Chapel Hill movement. Nicole Osterwile says some of the people arrested look familiar and have contributed to the movement at Peace and Justice Plaza. She questions how some were characterized by police.
They don't necessarily identify as anarchists, nor did they identify as the people that did that occupation.
David Malikin told us over the phone today that he does not identify himself as an anarchist and has been working with the Occupy Chapel Hill movement since it started. We found this article on Eva Jones, who's apparently an activist. This picture shows her participating in a small protest against offshore drilling this summer. Most of the people arrested have North Carolina addresses. Ellen Crawford appears to be from Richmond, Virginia, and this online forum identifies her as a... Osterwile says the action of the group that took over this building was not part of Occupy Chapel Hill, but she feels a response from authorities raises serious concerns.
If the police take action and have a disproportionate use of sort of force in response to something that didn't even, you know, get a warning, I think that people are going to be very upset about it, and people are going to start being really scared of living in a town that is rumored to be a really fair and progressive place.
Library and media center, even some dormitories. Now, it's worth noting that we did reach out to the Chapel Hill Police Department today, but we did not hear back from them.
Beacons of intelligence are in the other places you mentioned around the rest of the world. I mean, I think I think this empire is pretty much done. You can stick a fork in it.
Contagion X. If you think you've been exposed to contagious sovereign infection, Contagion X is for you. Sovereign transmitted debts don't have to be embarrassing or keep you from other financial relationships. You can stay on top by protecting yourself with Contagion X. Rest easy. Even if you've engaged in risky foreign exchange swaps or been with numerous indebted foreign partners, Contagion X works by releasing a powerful dose of austerity on troublesome workers, reducing your risk of financial infection so your wealth can be preserved. Ask your central banker if Contagion X is right for you. Contagion X is most effective when used 100% of the time on the other 99%. In certain cases, Contagion X has resulted in riots, defaults, fallen governments, and civil unrest. Unemployment, recession, and economic impotence are likely to occur with the use of Contagion X. In German clinical trials, some bankers have experienced delusions and hallucinations. And in some extreme cases, Contagion X may destroy the very monetary union it is attempting to save. If you're a Wall Street bank exposed to European banks who are exposed to infected nations who are exposed to Wall Street banks, Contagion X is for you. Contagion X. Just because it's your fault doesn't mean others can't suffer for you.
Available at central banks everywhere.
Customer. Recently, we introduced an arbitrary $5 fee on all of our debit cards. When our customers, for some reason, didn't like it, we listened and temporarily revoked the plan. We can't keep track of all the things we do that screw people over, but we promise to sometimes stop doing them.
Bank of America threatened to burn my house down if I didn't switch to paperless billing, but then they didn't. No harm, no foul.
At Bank of America, we care, and we make the following pledge to you. Whenever anyone notices any of the terrible shit we do and makes enough of a stink about it, we won't do it anymore. At least for a while. Because we're a community.
When I signed up for a Prima checking account, Bank of America captured my family in a dungeon and tortured them for 3 months.
but then they let them go. Thanks?
Bank of America gave me a great loan to start my small business. They also stole my car and cut the brakes. Then they returned the car and were nice enough to warn me about the brakes. So, there's that.
I love my Bank of America cashback rewards card. When they said that they were going to use their profits to open up a puppy-killing factory, I didn't like it. So then they said they'd find a different way to kill puppies. But I get cash back, so...
We know that our customers will accept us doing a lot of awful things, but sometimes we'd like to let you think that you matter to us. You can't be mad at us if we only try to steal your money.
Right.
Thanks, Bank of America.
Thanks, Bank of America.
Thanks, Bank of America.
You know what? No. You, Bank of America.
Bank of America. We only handle crisis.
Executives are currently gambling on which Occupy Wall Street protester will be arrested next. This morning, members of the financial services firm The Whittinger Group gathered at the window of their 15th floor boardroom overlooking Manhattan's Zuccotti Park and tabulated odds on a large dry erase board to keep track of the growing pot of cash.
It's really sad to see all the work we put in just destroyed in one night.
They went for the bandana guy instead. Dumb fucking luck.
As of this afternoon, more than $1.2 million have changed hands, with Vice Chairman Malcolm Grant taking in more than $300,000 in winnings for correctly betting on the arrest of a man in a Guy Fawkes mask.
What is your opinion of this event?
I'm delighted to see so many people here on the first day. All it took was one newspaper. What it means to me is that I don't have to buy a plane ticket to Occupy Wall Street in New York. I can do it right here in Chapel Hill, Orange County.
Many occupations lost the symbolic spaces that they were occupying, including Oakland, which RT had been reporting on, as well as New York City's Zuccotti Park. And the fact that the protesters are able to turn out such large numbers is a testament to the strength of this protest movement. Something about the strength and the determination of the people who are taking to the streets. One of the interesting instances that we do have to mention is sort of the unprecedented show of force by the police department. Many police officers did behave courteously, but we did see many examples of police officers not making a distinction, for example, between peaceful protesters and those who are more rowdy, not making a distinction between press, regardless of whether press officials, journalists were credentialed or not. In fact, we saw and filmed several arrests of reporters who were simply standing on their spot with their credentials out. Another interesting fact to point out is that there's several helicopters hovering overhead. We did hear NBC News reporting that they were again asked by the New York City Police Department to clear the airspace. A lot of protesters here found out about that via Twitter. Not very happy. People here think this is a media blackout. hand out.
Identify as anarchists, nor did they identify as the people that did that occupation.
David Malikin told us over the phone today that he does not identify himself as an anarchist and has been working with the Occupy Chapel Hill movement since it started. We found this article on Eva Jones, who's apparently an activist. This picture shows her participating in a small protest against offshore drilling this summer.
I think people are going to be very upset about it, and people are going to start being really scared of living in a town that is rumored to be a really fair and progressive. think that people are going to be very upset about it, and people are going to start being really scared of living in a town that is rumored to be a really fair and progressive place.
WCOM Radio, I'm Furious George, signing off here. Stick around, we got some bodaciousness. Micropower Radio is in community-based, old-school revolutionary stuff. A little solidary for some of the stuff that's going in downtown Chapel Thrill.
That they felt their response to what happened here over the weekend was appropriate.
We'll see what happens next week as we continue with the Furious George experience. This is WCOM FM. Stick around. We'll be right back.